So we're going to get started this morning. I named this sermon, Keep the Home Fires Burning. We are going into a cultural change. We are trying to develop some things within our church. We started last week, a couple weeks ago, I talked about culture. Then we went into connecting. And how many connected this morning with someone you haven't connected to before? All three of you. Amen. All right. So this is one of the things that we want to incorporate in our culture. We want you to be friendly. We want you to get to know one another. The Bible says that we are his disciples because we love one another. How many know you can't love somebody you don't know? And maybe you don't want to know them. Amen. But the truth is, we want this to be a church where people come in and they feel connected right away. And so last week we talked about worship. And worship is something personal, we understand, but the Bible also gives us instructions on how to worship. And so as we worship, what are we doing? We're actually ministering not just to God, not just to ourselves, but we're ministering to those around us. And so our worship is not just in the church, not just half an hour into the service, but it is a life. We are to be a living sacrifice unto God. And so our worship is finding the will of God for your life and loving him with all your mind, strength, heart, all that you have, and loving your neighbor as yourself. How many know that's worship? It's a sweet aroma unto God. And so we're excited about that here this morning. So what we're going to do is we're going to keep practicing these things. We're going to give you opportunities. We're not just going to be talking about it here at the beginning of the year, but we are going to begin to facilitate some of these things and give you opportunities. How many know a lot of times churches say get involved, but they don't give you any opportunity to be involved? And so we're going to try to create some of those opportunities. Maybe it's not your niche, but we're encouraging you to get involved where you can and believing that God will call you maybe to start a ministry, to start something that we are not already doing. So we're excited about that. We want all this stuff to become natural. We want it to become second nature to you. We don't want to have you stand up and say, greet one another. Amen. Right? Right? It should automatically be taking place because that's who we are. So keep the home fires burning. We're talking about being a disciple of Jesus Christ here today. And that leads to when we are completing that cycle of becoming a disciple, guess what? We'll find ourselves discipling other people. And that's the circle of life. Amen. Amen. So keep the home fires burning. So we're going to Matthew chapter 28 here. We're going to start. This is a very familiar scripture for you. This is what we call the Great Commission. And so here we go. Matthew 28, starting with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Who has all authority? Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, since I have authority, he said, I am authorizing you, I am telling you, I am commanding you, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And as we look at this scripture, a lot of times we pick out certain scriptures. One of the things we really like to say is go, 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 go. We point out that scripture. But the emphasis in this verse, the main thrust in this verse of the Great Commission is to make disciples. And so there is the word. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that for you. But we have other words in this scripture that we kind of emphasize as we look at it, going, teaching, and baptizing. These are just necessary disciplines for the making of disciples. To make disciples is the only direct command in this scripture, in this passage that we're reading. This is what we are called to do as the church. We are called to make disciples. The word go could be translating as you are going. Most of us will not go to other nations. As we read in the scripture, that's our mindset that, oh, God's calling me, you know, over to California. God's calling me to Texas. God's calling me to Mexico. God's calling me somewhere else. But no, it is as you are going, wherever you find yourself, wherever you are living, guess what? That is your mission field. And it is in that place that God is saying, wherever you are, I want you as you're going to be making disciples for me. That is what the commandment is here today. One author wrote this, I read this week, it says, Jesus' words here are a commission to the deeper aspect of discipline, which goes beyond evangelism and on to solid teaching and continued spiritual nurturing that produces growth and progress. So effective evangelism cannot be separated from true discipleship. Discipleship is part of winning people to Jesus Christ. We are called not to just to get them saved, we are called to plug them in. How many of you, when you ladies went to the hospital, gave birth to a child, brought him home, put them on the shelf and ignored that baby? I don't think so. And it is the same way when we're birthing people into the kingdom of God, folks, we need to take seriously the responsibility that we have to disciple those individuals. If you're familiar with Billy Graham Association and their outreaches, you would be familiar with their plan of action. Their plan of action was months ahead of time, a year, months. They would go into towns, into cities, contact churches, and say, hey, we're coming to town. We want you involved. When people come to the altar, we want you to plug them in. We had a conversation to those famous evangelists sitting right here, Dan and Mariah, and family. We had a conversation the other day that basically Dan said, we will not go and do an outreach without being connected to a church. Because when people accept Jesus Christ, they need to be plugged in somewhere. They need to be discipled. They need to be told and taught about Jesus Christ. So what is a disciple? It is a disciplined learner. It is a person that is serious. It is a person that's all in. It is a follower of Christ who lives by his commands and is continually growing in his or her relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is. It is a present follower of Jesus Christ. Just because you got saved 20, 30, 40 years ago, and if you are not walking with Jesus Christ today, you are not his disciple. It is a present follower of Jesus Christ. A present continuous activity, involvement with Jesus. Folks, I don't know about you, but I've been saved for quite a while, but guess what? I have not arrived. And some of you have been serving God probably longer than maybe I've even been alive. I don't think anybody's that much older than me. But you have not arrived either. We are a disciple all through our life. And as believers, we are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And this is where I'm going to meddle a little bit. When Jesus came along making disciples, there were others that were also making disciples. John the Baptist, he had disciples. We know that the Pharisees had disciples. We know that there's a group in the Bible that considered themselves disciples of Moses. We know that Paul was a disciple of I won't even try to pronounce his name, Gamaliel. Sound good? All right. Sound good? You'll never know. Anyway. But he was a disciple of this individual. But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus invited people to be exclusively his disciples. He didn't want to share anybody. He said, I want you to be my disciples. I want you to come and follow me. He was very decisive. There was no wiggle room in it. As we read through the Bible in Ephesians chapter 4, we find that there is a fivefold ministry there. Gifts that God has given to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. An apostle is basically this. It's somebody who basically starts a new work, starts a new church. We consider our missionaries as apostles. They're going to somewhere where the gospel is not. Prophets are those individuals who speak in behalf of God. Not just telling us the future, but telling us our present condition, but also telling us, hey, we need to get right with God. And evangelists, they're concerned with souls. They want to see people saved. They want people to grow in the Lord and come to Jesus Christ. Pastors, what are they? They're shepherds, right? They're people, is an individual that's called to lead a church. And there are teachers. And sometimes commentaries combine pastor, teacher together, meaning that those ministries complement one another. But we do have teachers in here. We have people that want to dig deep into the Word of God to be able to present it to you so that you can understand it and walk in the light of it. So this morning, I just want to tell you today that all of these ministries are not, as we saw the short video, and as Karen said, it's not just people that are called there. Guess what? Those gifts are in the church here today. There are apostles here. There are prophets. There are evangelists. There's pastors. There's teachers here. Those gifts are in this church today, sitting in these pews here today. The thing is, we need to be pointing people to Jesus Christ, right? And the truth is, people tend to gravitate to particular people and teachings. I've been part of two international ministries as I was getting into the ministry. And you will find that a lot of times some people, they cling to those individuals. They put them in a different position. They become a disciple of that individual rather than a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so let me just say this here today. Exclusiveness hinders a healthy biblical view. We need to be careful. Yes, they are gifts to the church. Yes, we learn from them, but we don't become their disciples. We become disciples of Jesus Christ. Dogmatism is repelling. How many know that? If you've ever talked to someone that has a one-track mind, you can't talk about anything else but that one thing. And you can't say anything against that one thing or you're in trouble. Itching ears make us inflexible. Sometimes we want to hear what we want to hear. How many know there's two sides of a coin? There's always another side. There's always another view. We don't have a corner on the market of knowledge, church. Paul experienced this, and he wrote about this in 1 Corinthians. He said, when one of you say, I am a follower of Paul, another says, I follow Apollos, are you acting just like people of the world? As I said, I grew up in, I went to two schools. I went to more than two schools. I went to five schools. But I was part of Jimmy Swaggart's. I was there when he, after he had just started. And we were there when everything happened. But there was people there that wanted to emulate him. And so it didn't just emulate his teaching and his theology, but they began to emulate how he preached. We had a student-led chapel sometimes. And we'd have students get up there, and they would dress just like him, their blue suits, their blue shirt, and yellow tie. And they would preach a little while. And how many know that Jimmy Swagger sometimes breaks out in a little chorus while he's preaching? He'll sing a hymn, or he'll do something. And so when we saw that, it just kind of made you laugh. Like, well, there's little Jimmy. You know? I also went to Rhema. I went to Kenneth Hagin's school and learned a lot there. It was my first school that I attended. And again, I learned a lot about faith, grounded in faith. But people take it beyond that and begin to emulate the person. I don't know if you've ever watched Kenneth Hagin, but he was an individual that to walk up to the stage and put his toes over and stand like this. So you would see people that went to his school, they would do that. They would emulate him. And I don't know if you've ever heard him preach, but he has a habit of clearing his throat. Like he's got a snot wad stuck in his throat. How many know what I'm talking about? I don't know. He'll be preaching, he'll you know. And I hope my family's not watching this. Because my brother, I don't know why Kenneth Hagin did it. I don't know if he had sinus issues or what he had. I really don't know. But my brother picked up that habit in the pulpit. And I just like to go up and bop him in the head. But he had his own church. He actually had his own TV show up there in New England. And he would do that. He would be talking. And it's like, what are you doing, man? That is so distracting, right? Yes, we have people that God places over us to teach us some things. But folks, we're not their disciples. They're pointing us to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Take what you can. I like what Kenneth Hagin said. Eat the hay and what? Spit out the stubble. Right? Most preachers do have something good to say, but they also sometimes are a little off the wall. So know the word of God. Eat what you can eat. And throughout the rest, rest. Amen. All right. I didn't get through my verse here. I'm a follower of Paul. I'm a follower of Apollos. Are you acting just like the people of the world? After all, who is Apollos? Look what Paul's writing here. And who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. So when we're in the ministry or ministering his behalf, we're just the servants. We are speaking on behalf of him. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. Paul planted the seed in the hearts, and Paulus came along, watered it. But who gave the growth? God gave the growth. He says here, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. How many know? It's not about you. It's not about me. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. As much as we would like to make disciples and change people's lives, guess what? We do not have the ability to do that. We can get them to conform a little bit, but we have no power to transform them. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers. And look what it says. You are God's field. You are God's building. Basically, he is saying, you are God's disciples. We are God's disciples. Verse 10. Because of God's grace in me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one who has already laid. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation of our faith. Folks, there's no way about it. Yes, appreciate who God has placed out there for us to learn from. But the objective of their ministry is to point to Jesus Christ, to make us better followers of him. So, we talked about connect. We dream of a church where a healthy fellowship is an invitation to develop genuine and rewarding fellowships, friendships. This is what we want. This is what we want to see. This is what we want it to happen naturally. Worship. We dream of a church where worship is a powerful experience leading to a contagious expression of freedom and intimacy in the spirit. And today we're talking about grow. We dream of a church where discipleship is a strategic cycle of mentoring, resulting in leadership, development, and evangelism. This is what we want to see happen within our church. That circle of life taking place. Where people are getting saved, maturing, and then what? Reproducing themselves. One of the things we need to realize here today, that we need to work on self before we can work on others. We are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Growing up, I didn't grow up and hear this song, but when I met Karen, this was a song that was popular at the time. You remember the song, Read Your Bible, Pray Every Day. Remember that? Right? Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and what? You will grow, grow, grow. Right? What's the second line say? This course says, don't read your Bible, forget to pray. Forget to pray, forget to pray. Don't read your Bible, forget to pray, and you will do what? Shrink. So why do we teach our kids to do something that we don't do ourselves? There's a bunch of shrinky dinks in the church. Come on now. This is a very simplistic truth, but it is necessary to grow as a disciple. This is God's design. We read in Revelation, we know about the Laodicean church that lost connection with God, that they were following him in name only, but their deeds were not matching up to the profession. And we read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. He says, I know your deeds. This is Jesus talking. He said, I see what you're doing, and you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. And that is a very nice term, spit. We know what this really means. It means to vomit. It means to upchuck. How many ever been around somebody that upchucked? It makes you wanna upchuck. It's disgusting, right? When Karen donated her kidney to her dad, we were on the airplane. We brought her home a little too soon. Daniela was just one or two. She couldn't sit on mama's lap, so we have a screaming kid and a vomiting mom. And what I found humorous in all this situation was I looked back, and a row or two behind me, there's a guy on the end watching Karen with her little barf bag. And he's going. I know it's not a good subject, but this is how God feels about it. He said, I don't want you lukewarm. He said, I see your self-justification, your works, and doing things without having a relationship with Christ. That's what he was telling the church. Your deeds aren't matching up to your profession. And it's disgusting me. It's making me sick. It's making me nausea in the stomach. This is God's word. This is how he feels. So discipleship is basically a working relationship. How many know that marriage is a working relationship? Amen? It is a working relationship. And if it's not, you just have an arrangement. And God's not into arrangements. He wants to have a relationship with you. So, this week I was reading through Numbers. How many have ever received revelation out of Numbers or Leviticus? Ooh, you hit after the Ten Commandments, that goes downhill from there. Then everybody jumps to Joshua. That's a little more exciting. But there is some good stuff in there. And remember, these rituals are kind of symbolism for us and our relationship with God today. So you got to kind of think while you're reading, not just da 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 da, right? You need to think about it. What's going on here? This is what the Lord is prescribing. So in Numbers 28, verse 1, it said, the Lord said to Moses, give these instructions to the people of Israel. The offerings you present as special gifts are a pleasing aroma to me. They are my food. See to it that they are brought at the appointed times and offered according to my instructions. So the heading on this, above this paragraph on chapter 28, is the daily offerings. This was something Israel was supposed to do. They were supposed to offer a lamb in the morning and a lamb in the evening. On Sunday, they offered two in the morning, two in the evening, and on special holidays. So this was God's instructions. And Anita had a lesson this past week. on blessing God. How many of us take time to bless God? We know we're blessed. And we could sit here all day, all morning, and talk about the blessings that God has brought into our lives. But how many of us in turn bless? This is one way we bless Him. According to the scripture here today, we can bless God by doing what? By bringing our daily offerings to Him. As disciples, we need to have appointed times with God. Yes, in that place, we offer up our worship. We get into His Word. We listen for His voice. We pray. We do all these wonderful things. Because this is where God is blessed. This is how we bless God. You remember when Jesus was at the well with the woman and His disciples went down to get food? They came back and they tried to encourage Jesus to eat. And basically He said, I don't want any. My food is to do what? The will of my Father. Food, food, food. Food for the soul. That's what energized Jesus. Ministering to people. Ministering to His Father. And so today, I want to encourage you today. You know, Revelations 2:20 says, behold, what? I stand at the door and knock. And what's He say? Come on in. Sit down at the table. Sup with me. Hang out with me. Eat food. Isn't that what He says? It's fellowship, church. It's fellowship. So as believers today, we need to have those appointed times. And we need to do it according to His instructions. We are to have a relationship with Him. There are no shortcuts to discipleship. Coming here and just, this is your weekly feeding, it is not enough. That does not make you a disciple of Jesus Christ. I've witnessed individuals going into the ministry that tried to take shortcuts. Oh, I'm not going to Bible school. I'm going to go here and do this. And you know what? The individuals that did that are not in ministry today. There is no shortcuts when it comes to our walk with the Lord, with our being a disciple. We read in this scripture we are to bring our daily offerings. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciples, take up your cross and follow me. And one of the gospels says, daily. The Lord's Prayer, when we're speaking to the Lord, it says what? Lord, give us our daily bread. We kind of think of physical food, but how many know we need some spiritual food? He is the living bread. He is our living bread. So I was encouraged by that in Numbers 28. So I'm going to take you to Leviticus chapter 6. And it says this in verse 9. Give Aaron and his sons this command. These are the regulations of the burnt offering. The burnt offering is to remain on the altar hearth throughout the night till morning. And listen what it says. And the fire must be kept burning on the altar. Jump to verse 12. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offering on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. How's your fire this morning? The fire must not go out on this altar. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And He is the symbol. The symbol of the Holy Spirit is what? Fire, right? Folks, this is good stuff. Daily, daily. This is for the daily sacrifice. If you want a fire burning in your heart, you got to have a daily relationship with Him. Hallelujah. You know, we always talk about, oh, about laying our life down for Jesus. How about try living for Him? Let's just try living for Him. Let's not worry about dying for Him. That's the easy part. Dying's the easy part, but living for him is the hard part. We need that constant relationship. Proverbs 26:20 says, fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. So folks, we need to be putting wood, we need to be putting fuel on the fire. So home fires was basically a phrase that came out of the wars when the soldiers went off to war. The wife would be left behind to keep everything going. So home fires is defined as this. It means to maintain one's home, especially while one's family or friends are away. To keep things going at one's home. To maintain daily routine and provide the necessities of life in a home or community. Folks, I don't know about you, but keeping our relationship with Jesus Christ alive and well is a necessity. We need to keep the fire burning on the altar. So, we said we dream of a church where discipleship is a strategic cycle of mentoring, resulting in leadership development and evangelism. It begins at home. It begins with you. You cannot give away what you do not have. I would love to give each one of you $100 here this morning out of my wallet, but guess what? Surprise! I don't have $100 to give each one of you out of my wallet this morning. We can't give what we don't have. So discipleship begins at home, but it doesn't stay there. We are commanded to make disciples. And so one of the things we're trying to do this year is come up with a strategic plan to get people involved in the discipleship program. We want people mentoring people. We want to raise up leaders to make disciples. No amens. Okay. Do I have to repeat it? No, I won't. But there is a progression that took place even when Jesus was crucified, rose from the dead. Let's look at it real quick. Acts 1:4, what did he tell them? Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. But wait. Folks, the disciples were being made ready. Do you know what the disciples were doing on those 10 days between Jesus rose and waiting for the day of Pentecost, which they didn't know they were waiting for? What were they doing? They were praying. They were getting ready. They were taking care of business. They were doing church business. They replaced Judas Iscariot with Matthias. See, they were getting everything lined up, waiting for the promise to be given. So waiting doesn't mean that we're not doing anything. But church, we need to prepare ourselves for what God wants to do in us, but also through us. So we look in Acts 1:8. We see that there was an appointed time. They didn't know. But it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So he was equipping them. What? With the Holy Spirit. He was getting them prepared. They were waiting. They were making themselves ready. He equipped them. And in Matthew 28:19, the scripture that we read here today, he gave them directions. When you receive this power, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and make disciples. We're infatuated by the Holy Spirit. We're infatuated by the move of the Holy Spirit. We're infatuated by the gifts. We want them to show up. But folks, one of the greatest things that he has given us is the ability to make disciples. And yet, it's probably the last thing that we're doing. Yes, I want God to move in our services. Yes, I want God to heal people. But part of this commissioning is for us to be making disciples. This is what we want to become, a disciple-making church. This is what I want our culture to be. The 10 people in our group said this is what we want our culture to be. We want people connected. We want people worshiping God. And we want people growing in Jesus. Paul wrote to Timothy in the second book, chapter 2, verse 2. He said, what? And the things you have heard me say. He hung out with Paul. He knew Paul's ministry. Say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. That is the purpose of the church. Paul taught Timothy. Timothy taught others. And those others taught others. That's what we're trying to create here. That mentality that, hey, I'm not just here to sit and look pretty. I'm not here just to receive. Because next week we're talking about serving. Folks, we are called to serve. We are disciples of Jesus who said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. It doesn't mean you're in fivefold ministry that you're going to go out there and have to quit your job and do, nah, just be you. Be you wherever you're at, as that scripture says, as you're going, take Jesus with you and share him. So a strategic cycle of mentoring resulting in leadership development and evangelism. Because as we disciple, guess what? Leaders begin to rise up. People begin to hear the voice of God calling them to specific areas in which he wants them to work. So, I may be a little vulgar again here. We often heard what goes around comes around. Sometimes we call that karma. Sometimes we call it poetic justice. Right? Actions have consequences. We reap what we sow. When we were in Bible college in Waxahachie, we drove school buses, and as I drove daily, I would see this car that had a bumper sticker on it, and I hate to see swear words. I hate to see foul things on the back of cars. It kind of irritates me because they think it's freedom of speech, but it's infringing on my freedom to have to read it. But I don't know how to else say it, you know, blank happens. You know the phrase? Starts with an S, right? Stuff happens. And so I would see that car on a regular basis. And one day, we're getting close to the school I was driving, and I saw that car in a wreck. And I thought, that's karma. It really works. It does happen. Can I tell you here today, discipleship just doesn't happen. It doesn't. And so it's a choice. And if we're going to make that choice, we need a strategy. We need to make it our purpose as a church. If Jesus said this one underlying thing before, the last thing he said before he left earth, he said, I want you to make disciples. Why are we so busy about doing everything else but the one thing, the last thing he told us to do? We are called to make disciples, not make people in our image, not have people like us. But we are called to what? Help people grow in Jesus. And I'm thankful for the gifts. I'm thankful for the teachers, the people that have been stepping up and training people in our church. It's growing slowly. When we got here, there was no discipleship. We got a little bit going on. Tuesday nights is growing. I'm proud of that. I'm glad to see that. But we need more. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the church. It could be in your home. I know we have some people doing home groups. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's our responsibility. Discipleship just doesn't happen, folks. So we dream of a church where discipleship is a strategic cycle of mentoring resulting in leadership development and evangelism. And it's only going to happen as we keep the home fires burning. Folks, we need to be like Jeremiah that decided one day, I'm not going to speak anymore because nobody's listening and they're not, I'm tired of this. And he said, I shut my mouth. And what did he say? I had to open my mouth. He said it was like a fire burning in my bones. He said, I couldn't keep quiet. I couldn't keep the message inside. Folks, if we are in relationship with him and the fire is burning and we keep fueling that fire, guess what? It's going to come out. We're not going to be able to shut our mouth. We're going to be able to say wherever we're at, wherever we're going, hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Daily discipleship. Hallelujah. So I encourage you today, let the home fires burn. And if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know, I don't feel any fire burning in my bones, maybe it's time to wonder here today if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. We need to have an appointed time, like God said with the sacrifice. You need to have an appointed time, and you need to do it my way. My way. Come alone. Get shut up alone with me. Take some time to pray. Get in my word. Listen for my voice. And when I speak, I want you to obey. I don't know if you like our vision or not, but this is the culture that we want to see in our church. Because it was also the culture in the early church. It was. And it said God was adding to their number what? Daily. There's that word again. Daily. Amen. We want people to know Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we're just so grateful today. We acknowledge you as the head of the church. And this church, Lord, is yours. It's not Pastor Chris's. It's not my church. It's nobody's church. It is your church. And we are called to be your disciples. And so, Father, I'm praying for those that maybe are struggling in their walk, or maybe they have allowed the embers of the fire in their life just to cool down, and they're not having a regular relationship with you and regularly in your word, regularly speaking to you. I'm praying this morning, God, that there will be a turnaround. There will be a decision made this morning that, Lord, I'm going to do it. And the challenge isn't for you to go out there and spend an hour. The challenge is do 5 minutes. Read a chapter. Pray for 5 minutes. Begin afresh. Begin anew. Begin where you're at. And allow God to begin to light that fire within you. Lord, we are so grateful for the gift of the Holy Spirit. You said you would come and you would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Put a fire in our bones, in our heart, in our words, in our actions, everything. As we're going, Lord, we want to be your ambassadors. I encourage you here this morning. If things aren't right between you and the Lord, and maybe you blew it this past week, make things right before you walk out of this building today. Tell Jesus you're sorry. Tell Jesus, hey, I'm gonna work it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey. And if you need a devotional life, which a lot of Christians struggle with, I encourage you, begin now. Begin small and allow it to build. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the gifts that are here, that fivefold ministry that's evident within the lives of the people in this building. Lord, they are a blessing. They're here to compliment. They're here to help. They're here to build up. And today, Lord, I pray that you will bless them back. I pray that you will bless them with a greater authority. I pray that you will bless them, Lord, with greater understanding and insight. That you will bless them with an ability to communicate clearly what your people need to hear. And I pray in Jesus' name. Would anybody say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Amen. So we're trying to create a culture. We want you to be part of that cultural change. Amen. So Tuesday night, we have two Bible studies going, so I encourage you to do that. We have kids ministry, and We have an Easter program coming at the end of the month, and we have individuals. There's going to be drama. There's going to be music. Excellent preaching, I know. We do have an Easter egg hunt, so we just want to encourage you. Think of some individuals that maybe this would be a great opportunity to invite them to come to church, because they will hear a gospel message of what Jesus Christ has done for them. Amen. I think we covered most everything, right? Anything? Amen. All right. Keep the home fires burning, church. Amen. Amen. Stoke the fire. Put fuel on. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.